This is the Widow Podcast, and I am Karen Sutton, the Widow Coach. I'll be supporting you through the loss of your life partner so you can find a more positive way through your grief. I want to give you hope after loss and to know that when you are ready, you can create a meaningful life for yourself with the help of me, Karen Sutton, and the Widow Podcast. Hello and welcome back to another episode of the Widow Podcast. Thank you so much for joining me. In this episode, I wanted to talk a little bit about how we can continue the legacy and the memory of our loved ones after they have died. It's a really difficult one to navigate, and I think it's a process that takes time. Understanding how we can continue our relationship with our person, even though they're no longer here in the physical sense. And as much as they have died, our love for them hasn't died. And for me, it's been really important in my own journey. And I know it's been important to many of the widows and widowers that I have worked with over the years, to help them create those continuing bonds and understand how they can stay connected to their person after their death. Because we want to find ways of keeping them alive. And I always remember, I can't remember where I read it, but it really struck a chord with me that somebody only ever really dies when you stop talking about them, when you stop incorporating their love and their impact into your life. And I love to keep Simon alive by talking to him and doing the things he loved to do, and living aligned with the person that he was helps me feel connected to him. And I think it's understanding that we are who we are because they had such a huge part of our lives. They've shaped us. I am such a different person for having had Simon in my life. I am also such a different person for having experienced Simon's death. And all of these things now, you know, I'm in my eighth year, but I'm now able to have gratitude in my heart for Simon and for all the lessons that I have learnt and all the things that I have gained throughout my grieving process. And I have, and that's a hard thing to understand within yourself. This might resonate with you, it might not, depending on where you are in your journey. And I remember when I first started to understand that the grieving process had taught me so much about myself and opened up so many opportunities and possibilities for me personally and in life in general, in the bigger meaning of life, that I was starting to feel really grateful for. But that was hard. That was really hard for me to make sense of and make peace with. And I think there's a real fear of moving away from our person as well. You know, I hear it so much in my communities, and I know I experienced it myself, that fear of moving forward, of creating a life that can feel good again, of wanting to live, of enjoying moments, making new memories and making changes in your life that you perhaps may not have made if your person was still here. And it can feel very much like we're moving away from them, that maybe our love is less for them. And I think we almost become attached to the pain. I certainly did, and I know others have as well, that we feel that the only way to stay connected to our person and to remember them and to continue loving them is to feel the pain. Because the pain is the grief, and the grief is the thing that means we still love and miss our person. But we have to remember that grief is so much more. It's so much more than pain and sadness and heartache and tragedy and despair and fear. It's bigger than that. It's so much bigger than that. And we are absolutely able to get to a point where we remember our person with more love than pain. And that doesn't take away anything from us. That doesn't mean the pain has gone. And that doesn't mean that there are no longer times of sadness, but it absolutely softens and it becomes lighter to carry. And there are moments where it goes. I am not permanently in pain and I haven't been for a long time. You know, we spend time actively grieving for sure. And that's important. And we have to go through that process. But that active grief softens and we build a life alongside our grief and it becomes part of us. And how do we keep our person with us? How do we continue loving them? How do we bring that forward with us? How do we create a new relationship? And actually, what I've discovered, I have a new relationship with Simon. And that new relationship has almost been like a clean slate, a fresh start. And it's become a beautiful relationship because it's one without the human layers of complication. It's a relationship that is on a different level. Now, I don't know what your belief systems are, you know, religious, spiritual, or otherwise. It doesn't really matter what they are. But what I think is important is that we each individually understand what our own belief systems are, what we believe happens after death, what we believe is out there beyond us, beyond the human experience, and what happens after our death. Where do we go? How do we continue in another realm? And I don't necessarily have the answers. I don't believe anyone has the answers, but it's something that I've done a lot of soul searching on. And it's something that I'm still continuing now to explore and discover. And I'm really enjoying that. And in that process, my relationship with Simon has taken on a totally new meaning and place in my life and in my heart. And because there aren't those day-to-day annoyances, you know, like I love Simon dearly, but my God, did he drive me mad. Like, you know, just that being married to somebody and the differences of opinions and belief systems and coming at things from different angles and tiredness and financial stresses and life stresses, all of it, kids, it's just hard, right? Relationships aren't perfect and they are hard. And we wound each other up. That's gone. And yes, in the beginning, I wanted that back. Of course I did. You know, I would have taken all of those things because as much as he was a massive pain in the backside, he was my pain in the backside. And he was just amazing. And all those things that used to annoy me that really didn't matter in the grand scheme of things, I just wanted them back. I'll take it all and more. But of course we can't. We can't change what's happened. We have no control over that. So as we go through the grieving process and we make peace with it, we form a different relationship and we continue to move forward with this new relationship, with this love that we have in our hearts for our person. And we find ways of rebuilding, taking that love forward with us, taking them forward with us. Because as much as it feels like part of us has died with them, and in fact, I think part of us does die with them because we are a certain kind of person with certain kind of people. Like different people draw different parts from us, don't they? And who I was with Simon was only able to be because of Simon. Does that make sense? I remember reading a quote that Marie from Empowered Through Grief. She's amazing. You should absolutely check her out on Instagram. Her posts are so impactful. She's done a podcast with me. I can't remember which season or episode, but she's such a beautiful soul. She lives in Canada, and she lost her husband. Again, I can't remember when exactly off the top of my head, but she did a post recently, Empowered Through Grief. Go and check her out. She talked about the fact that who she was with her husband was only for him and will only ever be for him and can never exist in anyone else. And I thought that was so profound and so beautiful and so true, because who I was with Simon was only for Simon, and that version of me will never exist for anyone else. And that's where that part of us dies with them. And that's another grief. That's another secondary loss. And I had to work through a lot of grief for who I was and grieving me and the person that I was quite happy being in life, actually, that was gone. I fought that change and I didn't want her to go, but not entirely. And actually, I really like the person I've become. So yes, I miss the old me, but I also love the new me. But that takes time, because there's fear of who you're going to become. As much as it feels like part of you dies with them, remember always that part of them continues to live on in you. Because like I say, you are who you are because of them. They have shaped who you've become, and nobody can take that away from you. And remember that their love continues through you. Their light continues to shine through you, and they are able to have an impact on your life for the rest of your life in a wonderful, beautiful, and meaningful way. And it doesn't always have to be about the heartache and the tragedy and the sadness. Of course, that's still there. I get that. But we are absolutely able to take so much forward and allow it to shine through us and shape who we become. And Simon has absolutely impacted my life in more ways than I think I could possibly ever have imagined somebody could. And in his life and the time that we spent together, he taught me so much about integrity and values and loyalty and trust and just being a good person and being true to yourself. And I really loved that about Simon. Simon was Simon. And in some ways, it drove me mad because he could be quite black and white. But it's almost like he had a clarity. He understood his limits, his capabilities, his desires, his wants, what felt good, what didn't. And anything that didn't work for him, he just wasn't interested in. And he didn't mess around. And I think when he was alive, I maybe didn't notice that so much. But when he died and I was going through my own journey and exploring me and who I was, that absolutely became evident. And there's so much about Simon that I have learned to understand on a much deeper level in his death than I ever did in his life. And I think that's because you go through this process and you take on their roles and responsibilities and you see things from a different angle. And your life experience is so very different that you reflect on things. And I don't know, things just make sense on a different level. And you kind of go, do you know what? I get it now. I get why you did that. I get why you said that. I get why you felt that. I get why you behaved that way. I get why you made those choices, because I can see things now from a different angle. I have a deeper understanding of your existence and your belief systems and your experiences in life that I didn't have before. And I feel like I've got to know him on a different level. It's really bizarre. And you might be able to resonate with that. You might not, but it's amazing. And talking about it is it's just bringing it all to the surface for me. These are the kind of conversations that you don't necessarily always have with people, but the relationship that I have with Simon now is almost deeper than the one that we had when he was alive. And it's a beautiful thing. And I get to take that forward, and I get to spend time reflecting on Simon and who he was and what he believed, and think about what I want to take forward with me. And after you lose a life partner, you're thrown into a world that you don't understand. You don't feel like you fit in anywhere anymore. You don't know who you are. You don't know where you're heading. It's this huge existential crisis, isn't it? Of oh my God, what's the point? What am I doing? Where am I heading? How is this going to pan out for me? And there are a lot of big unanswered questions. And it's really scary. And I think we spend a lot of time thinking about, I need to find myself. I need to find who I am. But I think for me, what has been most impactful in that journey of not knowing who I was is actually I don't want to find myself. I get to create who I want to become in this new chapter, this new book, this new story of my life. I get to decide. And that is so much more empowering than trying to find who I am, because then you're just, it's like crawling around on the floor, picking up pieces and thinking, does that work? Does that not work? No, I get to choose. I get to choose. And actually, I get to choose in a way that allows me to be all of those parts of Simon that I loved most and integrate those parts into my life, into who I become, and bring them into my values, my belief systems. And that keeps me connected to Simon. And that allows me to feel that I am taking him forward with me all the time. And it's just such a wonderful thing to do. I'm not leaving him behind. I couldn't leave him behind if I tried. You know, we have so much fear, don't we, around no longer loving them, around no longer missing them, around leaving them behind and then not having a place in our life anymore. But I think even if you tried to do that, is that even possible? Can you just forget people that have had like a huge impact in your life, that you've spent years with, that you've built a life with, that you might have had children with, that you've traveled the world with, that you've created a home with? Like, I mean, before Simon, I had relationships and I haven't forgotten about them either. That they come forward with me and they've continued to shape my life. And they were for 2-3 years. Do you know? Like I knew Simon for 18 years, I think it was. You can't just move away from that. You can't just forget that. You can't just erase that person from your life. It's not possible. So we're fearing something that isn't even possible. So it's remembering when we're thinking these things, like, I'm not going to do that. That's not going to be my truth. That's not going to happen, because it can't. Even if I wanted it to and I tried to make it happen, it absolutely can't. So there's ways in which we can build on this relationship from the physical one that we had to a more spiritual and emotional connection. And this can happen in a number of ways. There's so many things that we can do. You know, we can continue to go to the places they love. We can live out some of their dreams and desires. We can continue with some of the traditions that they held. We can eat their favorite food, drink their favorite drink, watch their favorite movies, wear their favorite clothes, spray ourselves in their scents. We can write letters to them. We can speak to them. We can do visualizations, we can do meditations, we can have quiet time, we can look at photos, we can watch videos, we can journal, we can go deep within and have conversations on a soul level that connects us to them. I mean, when I go out on my walks, I speak to Simon. When I'm at home hanging out the washing, I might speak to Simon. When I'm doing my daily gratitudes, I speak to Simon. I give thanks for Simon. And I thank him. And there's so many things that allow us to stay connected to them and keep them alive in our hearts, you know. And if you have children, like, there are so many things that my children do that blow my mind, that they are so many parts of him. And it's crazy because, I mean, Ella was 5 when he died. And yeah, okay, you know, she had 5 years with her dad and their formative years. She's now nearly 13. And the traits that she has of her father are mind-blowing. And I think you don't have that because he's taught you it, because he's not here and he hasn't been for a long time, yet they're still there. And again, Sydney, my eldest, she's 17, just some of the ways she behaves and the things that she says and her outlook. And yes, she was 9 when Simon died, but there are definitely parts of both of my girls that are absolutely because of Simon. And that's another way that, and they love that. When I say to them, oh my goodness, you look just like your dad. Oh my God, your dad would have done that. And oh, that's your dad. And you're just like this. And your feet are like him and your eyebrows are like him and your funniness is like him and your intelligence. Just all those bits. And they love it. They're like, oh, really? Is it? Because that connects them to him. They know that he lives on in them, and I can see it. And we talk about it and we share it, and we have conversations regularly about Simon and who he was and the memories and the photos. And, you know, sometimes we don't have the answers. You know, sometimes the girls will ask me a question now about Simon and I won't actually know. And I'll say, I don't know anymore. Because life is so different now. I don't know how he would have responded. I don't know who he would be. You know, this is our 8th year. And I don't necessarily know what I used to know about him, but I can imagine. And I think, you know, create the good story, as I always say, like, find a story that feels good and go along with that when you don't have the truth. And that's what we do. We create the good story and we keep him going in that way. And I think as well, you know, we really struggle to make the changes in our life because we feel that in order to honor the life and the person that they were and that we shared with them, we have to continue to do things in the same way. We have to keep going with all the ways of living that we've created together. And there can be big changes that we can make in our grief, and they're hard. You know, moving house, selling cars, clearing out their clothes, going somewhere that they wanted to go to, the changes in relationships and the things that you do day to day, job changes, career changes, financial changes, just so much changes, doesn't it? And we can feel an element of guilt around these changes, especially when it comes to maybe letting go of some of their belongings, some of their things. You know, when we start to think about clearing out their clothes or maybe selling their bike or their car, you know, any of their belongings that you feel connects you to them. And it can feel really hard because it feels like a betrayal. And we were talking about this in my membership last night. And one of the ladies in there said she had just sold her husband's car. I think she said it was about 2 years after he died, 18 months, 2 years. And she just sold his car. and she was finding it really hard. She knew it was the right thing to do, but there was a element of betrayal there. And she said she'd actually gone on to YouTube and watched something. I don't know what it was, but she'd heard David Kessler say this, and he quoted this quote, and she shared it in our session, and it was so meaningful. And I want to share it with you because I think it helps you reframe that fear of letting things go when they no longer serve you in your new life on your own without your person. It's not betrayal to change your life when your life was changed without your permission. And I just felt that that just took a huge challenge in grief when you are grieving the loss of a loved one, and very succinctly put it into words that are so powerful and affirming. It's not betrayal to change your life when your life was changed without your permission. David Kessler is an incredibly wise man, and I think it's so true. It's so true. It doesn't take anything away from you. It is absolutely not a betrayal. And, you know, to create a life after our person has died is not easy. It takes a long time. And we have to work through a lot of heartache and pain and fear. But we absolutely are able to create a fulfilling and meaningful life. Again, in one of my sessions in my program, Finding Hope in Widowhood, we were talking about this topic. We do a lot of work around these types of things. And one of the ladies said that she wanted to create a life that her husband could see and experience through her and her eyes. And she wanted to make it so beautiful and so meaningful that he got to see the beauty in all of it too and experience it with her. And I thought, what a wonderful outlook, what a wonderful way of looking at it, because I truly believe that they come with us, that they are still around us. They continue to guide us. You know, if we ask them, if we speak to them, if we talk to them, and we take that time, that legacy that they leave, that impact that they've had on our life, it can absolutely serve as a foundation for building a meaningful and purposeful life. It's not an either-or situation. They have brought something so wonderful into our lives, and we get to continue to build from that. Their life ended, and that is tragic, and it is sad, and it is heartbreaking, and it is awful. But ours didn't. Ours continues. And it can continue in a way that incorporates all of the love, all of the lessons, all of the values that our person had, and take those forward with us and build from those things. You know, for me, Simon kind of just created a life that felt good for him. He lived life on his own terms, in his own way. And he did it with integrity and, you know, a really strong moral guideline. And I have used those things absolutely as a foundation to build a life for myself and my girls upon that foundation and take all of those things forward with me. And Simon comes with me every step of the way. And we continue to have a very beautiful relationship. It's different, but it has absolutely shaped who I've become. And it continues to. I continue to draw on Simon's wisdom and love most days and allow it to guide me. And I hope that you can do the same with the love that your person shared with you, because that's what they'd want. They'd want us to live. They'd want us to find peace and happiness and contentment and meaning in our lives. And I want to do that for Simon, and I want to do that for myself. Because one day, when I see him again, I want to be able to tell him the most amazing story. And I want to be able to absolutely thank him for enabling me to create that beautiful story, because without him, it would never have been so beautiful. If this episode has helped, has supported, has resonated, and you think it might help somebody else grieving the loss of a life partner, please share it, like it, leave me a comment, leave me a review. It helps me reach more people. And that is exactly what we want to do, is shine more lights in the darkness and offer more hope to those grieving the loss of a life partner. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you for being here. And I will see you again very, very soon. Take care. Look after yourselves. Bye-bye. Thank you so much for listening to The Widow Podcast with me, Karen Sutton. If you would like to be part of a supportive community of people who understand your grief, come and join my free Facebook group, Widowed and Rising. And make sure you tune in to the next episode of The Widow Podcast.